Hey, everybody, and welcome to Learning from Smart People. I am your host, Rob Oliver, and I would like to just say thank you for being with me today. And as much as I say that, I'm going to tell you that you're going to learn something today, and I am absolutely certain of this. My guest today is Barbie Wharton. She is a charismatic and experienced entrepreneur, speaker, writer, and podcast guest, and she shines when helping others feel they are important in their own way. Barbie, welcome to the podcast.
Hey, Rob. So nice to see you today. Well, I can see you. I know your listeners can't, but I like to see your smiling face. Thank you so much for having me on your podcast today.
And no problem. Listen, it's my privilege. Let's just kind of jump into this. Tell me a little bit about your backstory, kind of what brought you to where you are today?
Well, that is a great question, isn't it? Well, I'll just take you from the beginning. You know, I grew up in a suburb of Vancouver and, you know, went to high school, did my thing, went to business school, always knew that I would be a business girl. That was my goal in life, and did that. Went and was a sales manager, operations manager, got my feet wet in the business world, got married, had kids, and now I'm here. I've been married now for the second time. I went through COVID, as we all did. I'm shifting, got some new experiences that I can't wait to tell you about, and looking at the world with brand new eyes right now, and I'm really excited about it.
You know, it's so interesting, again, to hear you say that, you know, through the COVID experience, you're looking at the world through new eyes. Talk to me about what you mean by that, because I think that's such an amazing perspective to have.
Well, so where I was kind of when we got hit by COVID, my majority of my career for the past 15 years was in large scale dance competitions for kids. So my mom, my sister, and I ran an event management company. My mom started it in 2000, and, you know, worked it from one competition to 14 across Western Canada. My sister and I danced our whole lives. A lot of our childhood and our life was wrapped up in that community, which is super supportive and has had a big part of making me the person I am today. And, you know, COVID hit, and being in large scale events, particularly for children, is not necessarily the best industry to be in once you get hit by a pandemic. And, you know, we made the very hard decision to close our company for various reasons. And so I was stuck. You know, my role in the company was being on stage. I was a speaker. I was very privileged to be able to be involved in the lives of thousands of dancers. And so I really was, as many of us were, I was having a major identity crisis. My career was over. I felt like my life was over. I had no identity. I didn't know, you know, I was Barbie from Peak. That's who I was. You know, I'm 40, and I definitely didn't think that would be happening. And I definitely didn't think it would be something that was taken away from me. It wasn't my choice. That's something as an entrepreneur, is very hard for us. I mean, we go through that a lot. We all do as entrepreneurs. But the pandemic for all of us was a really big slap in the face. And it really was the universe sending us all a message to reassess what we are doing in life, what's important, what we actually want to keep around in our life, who we want to keep around us. And I do strongly believe that it's going to keep going in various levels until we all as a universe come together and really decide what's important in life and what's not, because we're all humans and we're all the same. So now, after going through that, you know, I'm onto a new career, actually in the maritime industry, which is a definite shift. I'm very excited for that new challenge. But looking at my priorities in life, who I choose to have around me, who I choose to share my time with, you know, I stay home a lot more than I used to. I look inward a lot more than I used to. And so looking now, yeah, on my life with fresh new eyes that are slower, I'm slowing down, really deciding about, you know, what's worth my energy and what's not. And that's kind of what I mean when I say that.
Yeah. There's a lot to unpack in what you just said, but let me just say from my own perspective, I really agree with your concept that sometimes the most difficult circumstances that we go through are the ones that teach us the most important lessons about life and about success, about relationships, about who we are. And it sounds to me like you're going through, you know, COVID is difficult enough to go through as it is. And then you add the wrinkle to that, that this business that has become your identity, into which you've invested your heart and soul, now goes away. And what does that say about you? What does that say about, and your part of your identity is that, you know, you're Barbie from Peak, and now there's no Peak. And now, like, I don't want to, don't take this offensive, but now you're just Barbie from nowhere. Mm-hmm. Right.
And that's exactly what I was feeling. I was just Barbie.
Right.
And my husband, you know, very supportive. He's like, well, that's good enough, but it's very hard to get used to when you've hung your hat on something for a very long time.
Yeah. And I guess, did you kind of have to do an assessment? And I'm going to ask this because I have personal issues here. Okay. When I was 21, I sustained a spinal cord injury. And so paralyzed basically from the chest down with limited use of my arms and hands. And I had to assess how much my physical abilities defined who I am. And as a result, there was a lot of introspection, which is what you mentioned about, you know, taking some time to look inward, to understand that the essence of me is not about throwing a football or riding a bike. The essence of me lives inside of me, and it's something that age doesn't change, and it's something that physical ability doesn't change, and it's something that appearance doesn't change. The essence of me is internal. Is that, did you have a self-conversation like that, or did you have an experience like that, or does that relate to you at all?
Oh, absolutely relates to me. And I actually, you know, when we get into it later, I will mention I had Bell's palsy in 2015. So, you know, on the physical point that you're making, you know, I have some thoughts there for that. For me with COVID, I don't really know if there was kind of a point where that was kind of realized, because I was very, you know, depressed for quite a while. You know, I have problems with mental health anyways. Very hard for me. You know, I'm a person that's up and out and doing all the things. The gym wasn't even open, and I didn't know what to do with myself. I have two teenage boys, 15 and 13. So, you know, while it is busy with them when I do have them part-time, they are a lot more independent now. So, you know, without having that, those projects to kind of focus on, you know, you're kind of like, what do I even do, you know, with my time?
Yeah.
Now I did, you know, I did, take a stab at starting again on my own. And, I had some events last year that were very successful. They were small scale, but I think that as we are all learning through this COVID process, the things that gave us passion and drive before seem a little bit more exhausting now. And again, I do feel like that's the universe being like, okay, I told you, like, there's things that need to change, and we need to kind of pay attention to those opportunities that are put in front of us, especially the weird ones. The ones where there's an opportunity put in front of you that's, well, that's weird. I never thought that I would be, you know, heading up a digital scanning company in the maritime industry. That's just what I'm doing now.
Right.
When something weird is put in front of you, that's not a fluke. So to me, it's time to explore those options that can expand your world and take you somewhere where you didn't necessarily have in your plan. Because I think that we're all learning, especially now, that plans are useless. They just go right out the window, right?
Yeah. Okay. So help me with this, because a lot of times when people bump up against adversity, bump up against obstacles, bump up against things that make things hard, sometimes we settle and say, okay, it's just too hard. I'm going to, like, I guess this is what I'm going to do. It's not what I had hoped to do. It's not what I had planned to do. It's not what I had thought I was going to do. But, you know, if this is how things are, then I guess this is what I'll settle for. It doesn't sound like that's how you operate. You're not a settle for this kind of person. Am I reading you right?
Yeah, I like to think that. I mean, it's not like you just you know, and obviously with everything you've experienced in your life, I'm sure you're the same. It's not like you just like wake up one day and it's magic and you're like, oh, I'm not going to settle. I'm just going to like, you know, today's the day. Like there's no big, it's just little steps where we only get one stab at this, whether you know, are paralyzed or have a paralyzed face or get your identity crushed or COVID or your parents die. Like you only get one stab at it. So you can either settle or not settle. And settling to some people is different than others. And to me, if you want to settle and you want to work, you know, at a coffee shop and do your things, that could be settling to one person and it could be the dream to another person. So to me, settling, no, it's not an option. It's not an option in anything. It's not an option in your marriage. It's not an option in, you know, your lawn. If you want a nice lawn, don't settle, you know? And I just really try to encourage people to absolutely to not do that. And it's not an instant thing. There's no answer.
Right.
It's just a matter of being like, what's the point if you're not happy?
Okay. And I want to pick up on something you said in there though. And that is there is the inherent bias that we have as humans to judge other people and to say, I can't believe that she is, you know, in a relationship or in a marriage, she is settling to for him. Like she could do much better. Or, you know, in work, I can't believe that he is just settling into that job where he could do so much better. And yet at the same time, there are elements of that in which other people have things going on that we don't understand. And you're kind of encouraging and empowering people to say, what are your goals? What is it that you want to do? And then go pursue those and just be comfortable being yourself and pursuing your own goals. Am I properly understanding what you're saying?
Yeah, I would say so, for sure. I mean, being an entrepreneur, I encourage people to, you know, if you have to get a job at McDonald's to pay your bills while you're working on your side career, I mean, that would be an example of what you're saying. Somebody might not know that.
Right.
And settling and giving in a relationship or a job or your life is just about you. And it is really like looking inside, and it doesn't matter what anybody else thinks. I mean, I'm horrible at worrying about what other people think. I'm an inherent people pleaser. Like it's just, you know, I struggle with that. But there's no point. Like even if you're, you know, even if, you know, you're on a podcast and you're like, hey, that person's not settling. She's a Supreme Court judge. She's awesome. She's killing it at life. But you would rather open a coffee shop on the island and go surfing. You're settling being a Supreme Court judge. And, you know, like I said, money and success and whatever you thought that you're going to do now during this pandemic and this time is the time that people are really being like, well, is that actually what I really wanted to do? Or was I just in this momentum of planning? And that's just what I do every day to avoid discomfort or to avoid maybe stepping up or giving it a try for fear of failure. You know, I started the events last year and I just, nope, not doing it. That doesn't mean that I failed. I tried. A lot of people wouldn't have tried. I didn't settle. And now, you know, moving on to the next. So,
yeah. And again, one of the things that you mentioned in there is about trying to be aware of what other people think. And sometimes I think that we work to live up to other people's expectations. And I don't want to go way over the edge with this, but sometimes we are not true to who we really are because we're putting on a face of trying to look like what we think other people think we should do, or trying to be who other people think we should be instead of becoming who we in essence truly are. Does that resonate with you at all?
Absolutely. And I do blog and speak about that quite a bit when I talk about Bell's palsy. When I, you know, had young kids and I was, you know, the mom and the wife and having the perfect parties and the perfect baby showers and, you know, outwardly look like I had a perfect life. That is exactly what I talk about. You have expectations of what we think other people want from us. And I'm telling you for free, they don't even know. They don't even know what they're doing. So what I work with myself a lot is, how do you even know what they expect from you? So why do you even care? So what I did is I made myself into this perfect person and had no voice. I didn't even know what I wanted. I didn't even know, you know, we read all these quotes and memes on Pinterest about finding yourself and being your true self. Well, you got to do the work to even find out what that is before you even start, you know, deciding what that is. And I mean, I'm not an expert at that at all. What I try to do is just propel forward. And if something feels icky, I just don't do it. Right. I mean, honestly, that's the magic sauce for me. If it doesn't feel good, feels off, or feels like someone's taking advantage of you or taking you for granted, it's just don't do it. It's move on. It's not that. I mean, that's basically the lesson after I turn 40.
Yeah. And a very powerful lesson it is, that why, you know, there's a difference between doing something that takes a lot of effort and takes a lot of discipline. Okay. So for me, I have been for the last 5 years, been very careful with what I eat. Okay. And it takes discipline and it's not easy. It's hard to do, but there's a difference between hard to do and that icky concept, right?
Yeah.
Can you talk a little bit about that as far as the difference between what you're saying about things that don't feel right and things that just are difficult?
Yeah. And I mean, you've hit the nail on the head. A few years ago, I did CrossFit every morning at 6, very proud of myself. I never, you know, I was a dancer, never really, I, you know, knew some people and they kind of got me into it. And I never was the power, you know, stereotypical, but it was a great community and I loved it. Hard, very, very hard to get up at 6 and go and do it every day, but the rewards were worth it. So I think how you definitely describe it, I mean, eating right for sure. I mean, that one is, is definitely something I know, like I struggle with that every day, you know. I know I'm going to feel a lot better in the morning if I don't drink this wine, but at the time, you know, sometimes the wine wins quite often. But, you know, I'm the same as you. At a certain point with our bodies, you only get one. So if you're not going to take care of it, you're just going to pay. It's not like it's a question of whether it's going to happen or not, right?
Sure.
So, you know, that's an exact, but that's why I use that word icky. You know, I use it with my, like, ugh, like that's the kind of feeling. Instead of that hard, like, oh God, I don't want to do that, is different than, ugh.
Yeah,
you know, and so that's the very scientific term I would use to answer that question.
Okay, yeah. So in the scientific lexicon of the Learning from Smart People podcast, duly noted, icky. If it's icky, don't do it.
It's a smart word, yeah.
Absolutely. So what you're talking about in some ways, though, is from a bigger picture, eating the right thing is taking care of yourself physically, but from an emotional and mental perspective, avoiding those icky things is a way of taking care of yourself on that level as well. Can you talk a little bit about, you know, taking care of yourself from more than just the physical perspective?
So self-care is something that I speak about quite a bit, you know, in my Bell's Palsy efforts. And, you know, about 15 years ago, I started seeing a spiritual coach. And any of us have gone through therapy and all, la, 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 la. The first thing, you know, what do you do for self-care? Well, I don't know. I go for a pedicure once in a while. Like, I didn't even know what self-care was. Never mind what I did for it to even entertain the idea. Self-care to me now has become using my voice, standing up for myself. I never did that. I never really I didn't even really entertain my opinion because I just thought, okay, well, you know, I'm on the team or that's going to make that person happy or whatever. Self-care is honoring yourself. It's not about making other people happy. It's about making you feel fulfilled. It's making you feel good when you wake up in the morning and look in the mirror. And to everybody else, that's different. You know, if getting a pedicure once a month has been something that you've always promised yourself you're going to do. You know, once you have that extra cash in the bank, that is self-care for somebody because it makes you feel fulfilled. Getting your toes painted and looking nice just for the excuse of saying you're taking care of yourself isn't self-care. So self-care is something that's not the same for everybody. It's a very loaded question that I ask a lot when I do my interviews for my Bell's palsy interviews, because people don't know what it is. You know, your voice being paralyzed or you not sticking up for yourself or even knowing what you need is where you need to start. And that is self-care. That self-care of taking care of all those emotions that you carry around that are icky inside that are just going to turn into disease. Straight up, that is what's going to happen if you carry that crap around. It's okay. Not going anywhere. And so self-care to me is getting rid of that.
I'm going to ask a question and I'm hesitant to ask it, and please don't be offended, but
no worries.
I would imagine that the struggle with Bell's palsy, part of it is that you don't look like you used to look, and there is a certain amount of fear in putting your face in public and when you go to share your own voice and to speak your own message, there is a hesitancy there because of the peripheral circumstances. I hope that I haven't, you know, crossed a line there, but is that something that resonates with you? And can you talk about how you deal with that?
Absolutely doesn't offend me. I'm happy to share. It takes a lot to offend me. but anyways, absolutely. Your face is what you put forward in the world. And so, you know, not even from a vanity point of view, it's the first thing people notice about you. It's the first thing people read. It's the first thing people do is look in your eyes. And when your face is presented differently, it fundamentally changes the person that you are inside. And that is what I talk about with a lot of my listeners on my Bell's Palsy Talk Instagram. You know, I'm about 85% recovered. It happened to me about 6 years ago. There's a lot of people that don't recover. And so those people are the ones I talk to a lot about. They don't even let themselves have their picture taken with their kids. It fundamentally changes who you are. And exactly like you're saying, how you present to the world, your fear that that's the first thing people are noticing, or your eye looks weird, or all those things. And to me, what I've come to realize is it's my responsibility as a person to share that journey with people so that they understand that their story matters. There's a reason that something like this has happened to us, has happened to you in your life, has happened to me in my life. For you, you are having your podcast and inspiring other people to listen and have lessons and better themselves. And for me, it's the same thing, inspiring people to feel that they're important. A lot of my life, I felt like my voice wasn't important enough to use. And then that's what my passion is now with Bell's palsy, is your voice. Your voice and your mouth got paralyzed, literally got paralyzed. Louise Hay, the first thing I looked up when it happened to me is, why is this happening to me? And her metaphysical explanation is, your mouth is paralyzed. You are not using your voice. Me, I took that and I was like, okay, I don't know what that means, because I, you know, I told my mom, I'm joking around. She's like, really? Cause you talk a lot, like, you use your voice. And you know, that's not what it is. It's using your voice, standing up for yourself, talking about what's important to you and important to the people that you love. And, you know, that's what I've taken that message to flip that around from a physical appearance to really trying to get that message across to my listeners, is there's a reason and we have a responsibility to encourage people to use their voices.
Okay. And I just want to talk about two things that you said there and maybe get some clarification from you. I'm assuming you know, I come from a faith background, and sometimes in faith, people will say there's a reason why something happened to you. You know, like, you did something to upset God or the universe or whatever it is. And, you know, what happened to you is the result of that. And I don't think that that's what you're saying when it says that there's a reason. what has happened to you gives you an opportunity to do something unique because of what you've gone through. I think that
absolutely.
That's what you're talking about with a reason. The other thing is, I need you to help me understand this. You said that having Bell's palsy fundamentally changes who you are. And let me give you my take on it. And then hopefully we can figure out how to get our thoughts together on this. My spinal cord injury fundamentally changes how I engage the world, but the essence of who I am, my quote unquote Robness, does not change as a result of my injury. It doesn't. And so can you talk to me about how that fits in with what you mean when you say that the essence of who you are fundamentally changes because of your Bell's palsy?
Yes. So I agree with you that maybe the evolution of who you are changes. The experience makes you expand as a person. Maybe I think we're saying the same thing with different words.
Got it.
I don't change. Barbie's the same. It doesn't make me a better or worse person inside. It gives me more to offer the world.
Okay.
If that.
No. So that's exactly, you and I are definitely saying the same thing. So let me just rephrase it in this way. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
The way that you experience life and what you know and understand about life has grown dramatically because of the experience that you've gone through. But the essence of who you are, your likes and dislikes, your sense of humor, your personality, many of those things have not changed at all. It's been a learning and growing opportunity for you to go through those that difficult experience. Is that fair enough?
Yes. Yes, I agree. And I like that way of saying it. I think every experience that we have, positively, negatively, every single person we meet on the street changes us in a positive or negative way. But yes, the inside person, doesn't matter whether you're wearing a purple suit or, you have red hair, or purple hair. Yeah. You're amazing core self, no matter where you go. And to touch on the part where there's a reason that this happened, you're right. I'm not, it's not a punishment thing. There's no, faith, universe, anything that we, that we look to. It's not a punishment thing in my opinion or my view. It's being shown that you're amazing and you have things to offer. Everybody has a gift to offer that somebody else doesn't. And these hard lessons that are put in front of us are a chance to say, hey, I'm going to try to figure out what that is. Because quite often, 99% of the time, the lesson doesn't just drop in your lap.
Sure.
You wake up with a paralyzed face and you're like, okay, well, obviously I didn't wake up and be like, oh, yay, I get to have a lesson that somebody else didn't, and this is going to be so fun, right? Later you realize, okay, well, I need to do something with this.
Sure.
That's how we heal.
No doubt. And I will just share my side of the story, and that is I agree completely. It's something that you grow into, and it doesn't change the fact that every now and then you're like, this is hard. I'm dealing with a situation that most people don't deal with, and not being able to get myself out of bed in the morning and having to rely on other people. I mean, it sucks. And then I realized, I am blessed. I've got so many wonderful things in my life. And, that's just part of where I am. And it's part of my journey. And, you move forward from there. And yes, it is difficult, but you look at what you can do, you look at what you do have, and you let go of what you don't. So listen, Barbie, you've been phenomenal. I really appreciate talking to you. There was so much more that I would love to share, about you and what you're doing, but we are running out of time. So if people want to get a hold of you or get in touch with you, what's the best way to do that online, or, how would you suggest?
Yeah. Thank you, Rob. I could talk to you forever. I do run into that quite a bit on podcasts. I have a lot to say. And I just love guesting. The thing I'm most passionate about right now that I'm working on is called Bell's Palsy Talk. I've mentioned it now a couple of times on Instagram is where most of it lives. So the handle is Bell's Palsy Talk. And on there, what I do is I have live interviews with followers and health professionals. And I'm very passionate about bringing more awareness. It isn't a very common thing. So I like to have educated professionals come in and talk about it. But the thing I'm most passionate about is the community that we're creating and talking to others going through the same thing. Because like we said, it's a very unique thing, having your face, you know, because people are like, oh, could be worse, you know, but it still affects you in such a huge way. And I'm very excited about bringing all these people together with that. And then I also have my website, barbiewharton.com, where I blog and I talk about things that are going on in my life that I really enjoy sharing with people. Because like I said, I really, really in life is important for us to realize, like, no matter what we're all going through, we're all human and we're all very important in our own way.
Absolutely. And I will put links to all of your social media and website and everything down in the show notes so people can find you. Barbie, you've been wonderful. It is time for three questions to establish your humanity. Are you ready for these, my friend?
I hope so. I'm ready.
Okay. So, what song will get you either out on the dance floor or get you to sing karaoke when you are out and about?
Oh my gosh. I'm the worst with remembering names of songs, but when we were at weddings, when I was younger, we would go to so many weddings and get us up on the floor doing a line dance to Boot Scoot and Boogie. You could definitely count on that.
No problem. What hobbies do you have? You know, what do you enjoy doing when you're not working?
Oh my gosh. See, working is, you know, again, like I mentioned, the counselors will always say that, you know, what's your hobbies? And I love working. I love making websites. I enjoy being on Pinterest. I recently this summer took up golf. We moved to a golf course, so I figured I'd better take that up. So I'm really enjoying that. And I like to garden a little bit, make my plants outside. You know, I have ADD, so I like to plant the planters, and they take a couple weeks, but a vegetable garden would be too much of a commitment for me.
Nice. All right. You're in Vancouver, BC. And so if I was coming to visit, where would you take me to say, this is a classic Vancouver restaurant where you can get, like, this is the place that says Vancouver to you as far as eating?
Oh, my favorite is, it's called Joe Forte's. It's downtown, right on Rodson Street. It's been there for a million years. It's not a chain. Everything you eat there is fantastic. The people are fantastic. Everything's fantastic. When you go in there, you're like, this is a successful establishment. There's only one, and it is the best. And if you do come, make sure you try the crab cake.
So the crab, I was going to ask, what is Barbie's recommendation? And duly noted, crab cakes at Joe Forte's in Vancouver, BC.
Yeah. And if you're ever up here, Rob, you make sure you hit me up and I'll take you there.
Wonderful. Invitation absolutely noted. Barbie, thank you so much for being with me today. You have shared so much of yourself. You have been open and vulnerable, and I really appreciate that. I feel like I have definitely learned from you. You are indeed a smart person. To all my listeners, thank you for being with me today. At whatever format you're listening to this on, whether you're on iTunes, Spotify, or you're on YouTube, wherever you are, I would appreciate if you would subscribe and leave us a review. It would be most appreciated. In the meantime, I will remind you that when you stop learning, you stop living. Have a great day, everybody.